It's Tuesday, the day we read from your emails. We talked last week about Warren Buffett's decision to donate some $30 billion to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. During the discussion, the question of oversight and transparency came up. Mary Bratton emailed from New York City to complain. I cannot believe that such generosity is being questioned and analyzed. It's their money. They can do what they want with it. That they chose to do some good in the world is to be lauded, not shot at. Last Thursday, on the 50th anniversary of the interstate highway system in this country, we took some time to reflect on America's love affair with the road. Patty Gray is a listener in Alaska. I cannot imagine American life without the interstate, she wrote. I tend to feel surly toward it when the interstates veer too close to where I live and when they're snarled with traffic, but I mostly feel as if my life has been a love affair with the interstate highway. I'm getting chills of ecstasy just remembering some of the moments when a gigantic harvest moon was rising over the Utah desert or a wild storm was raging over the Kansas prairie. These are transformative moments, and they are unique to the wide open interstate. All that concrete, though, is a bit much for listener Thad Weekly. He emailed from Ann Arbor, Michigan, to tell us too much focus is often given to more lanes, more pavement, more miles. For 50 years, we've built almost everything for the motor vehicle. This has left us smoggy cities, clogged arterial roads and arteries, and horrendous land use building practices. Much more attention needs to be given to sustainable transportation, bicycling, walking, train, and bus, all of which have become much more difficult with the interstate. On Wednesday, we talked about the English language and how it's changing, especially online, which elicited this observation from Margaret Middleton in Little Rock, Arkansas. One of my favorite T-shirt slogans reads, English does not borrow words from other languages. English follows other languages down dark alleys, mugs them, and rifles their pockets for loose grammar. And last Monday, I cited a quotation which I attributed to P.T. Barnum. Nobody ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of the American public. Well, it turns out it wasn't Barnum, and Ralph Kies caught it, as well he should. He's the author of the just-published book, The Quote Verifier, which examines the roots of some 450 such sayings, ranging from, ain't I a woman, to show me the money. So we've called him on it. We reached Ralph Kies at his home near Dayton, Ohio, and thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So it wasn't P.T. Barnum.
It was not. Who? It was H.L. Mencken.
H.L. Mencken. Well, I had somebody beginning with two letters for the name.
Very close.
I understand that a lot of loose floating quotes get attributed to either H.L. Mencken or P.T. Barnum.
Yes, I call them flypaper figures like Lincoln, Twain, Shaw, Churchill, Wilde. These are people to whom orphan quotes stick.
And in orphan quotes, these are people. Orphan quotes, these are sayings that people think are incredibly clever and therefore must have come from the likes of Mark Twain.
Exactly. Something like, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing.
Who said that?
Obviously, Vince Lombardi must have said that. We've all heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
But it was actually Red Sanders, a coach at UCLA in the early 50s, who originated that one. But who's heard of Red Sanders?
Well, in your email, you mentioned another well-known line, a bit more contemporary. The movie Jerry Maguire has to be the source of Show Me the Money.
Well, of course, it's in there.
Uh-huh.
And Cameron Crowe is the screenwriter for Jerry Maguire. And Bartlett's actually attributes Cameron Crowe with having coined that. It's even on their back jacket.
Hmm.
But there's a lot of databases now where you can enter keywords and they'll take you back to early newspapers and early magazines. I did that, and I found Show Me the Money was early boxer parlance in the early 20th century. For example, in 1907, when he was asked if he'd fight Jack Johnson, the heavyweight Tommy Burns said, show me the money, show me the money, and I'll fight if it's enough.
He came to regret that.
Oh, yes. Jack Johnson. But that catchphrase, show me the money, it's a century old at least.
This is Independence Day. Are there any misattributed famous quotations from the American Revolution? I mean, surely Patrick Henry did say, give me liberty or give me death.
Unfortunately, he didn't.
No.
There's a guy named William Wirt who was a biographer, very flowery, very willing to put words in his subjects' mouths. And when he wrote a biography of Patrick Henry, he put, so give me liberty or give me death, in Henry's mouth. Now, Henry was supposed to have said that at a convention in Virginia in March 1775. Jefferson and Washington were both present at that convention, and neither of them ever remembered Henry having made that momentous declaration.
Haven't you ever heard of the journalistic principle of a story too good to check? Aren't there quotes too good to check?
Some people think Twain said that.
Ralph Kise, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Ralph Kise is the author of The Quote Verifier, Who Said That, Where, and When. He joined us from his home near Dayton, Ohio. If you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email. Our address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Happy 4th of July, everybody. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.